Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm bringing you a really interesting story. I know I've said that before, but this is a little bit different. This is a company by the name of Veriten, and it is not listed on the ASX. It's listed on the NSX under the code VTN, Veriten NSX code VTN. Now, what these guys are doing is they're unlocking the value of low-grade wool, which is fascinating because here in Australia, of course, our wool industry has been very important. And I was just speaking to Dr. Bulos before, and I never knew half the things that happened in the wool industry. We're going to unlock some of that today. But as well, here's a fact that I didn't know either. In Australia, there are three times as many sheep as there are people. So Dr. Bulos might be onto something. So to join me today, talk about what he's doing, why he's doing it, and the value upside, the investment thesis for Veriten is Dr. Ramiz Bulos. He is the founder and he's also the executive chairman. And welcome to Small Caps, Ramiz. Good to see you.
Thank you very much, Kerry, for having me. Looking forward to it.
Well, this is going to be a lot of fun because I don't think, because I certainly didn't know about Veriten before we started chatting, and it's fascinating what you're doing. So first up, for our beautiful investor audience out there, explain who are Veriten, and then we'll go into a bit of a deeper dive. But give us the overview of what you're doing.
So Veriten is a very unique company. It's an innovative company that really looks at developing high-value, sustainable products from low-grade wool. So there is a lot of low-grade wool out there. And by low-grade, I mean anything that farmers struggle to monetize, whether it be they can't really sell it, or whether it has really poor properties that they get very little for it. That's where we come in. We buy that wool from them at a premium, and we turn it into sustainable high-value products, so everyone wins along the supply chain. And of course, along the way, we're also reducing the waste stream, so there are benefits for the environment as well.
Ramiz, I have to ask you this. How did you come across, I want to know the science behind this, but how did you sort of manage to get yourself involved with understanding how much waste there was in the wool industry? And in fact, how much waste is there? Where do you get it from? What do you do with it?
That's an interesting question because I'm a scientist by background. So I think it was about 10, 12 years ago, I got really interested in looking at novel applications for human hair at that point. And one day I shaved my head and I walked into the lab with a bag full of hair and started doing experiments on it. And I did receive very weird looks from my colleagues, but the research really evolved and I was onto something that I didn't realize at the time. It evolved and turned into, that's where the wool came in. I found a green chemistry approach to really unlock the value of the wool, turn it from a solid into a liquid product. And that's where you release all the goodness, and that's when you open the doors for all these applications, be it biodegradable polymers, fertilizers and soil improvers, amino acid products, etc. So that was really a key turning point there. And once we delved into the industry, we started looking at where to source wool. I think it, in a way, the answers came to us. A few years ago, once I was ready to embark on this journey, I had an article on the West about Verigro, our all-purpose fertilizer and soil improver product. And that's when a farm from down south in WA here in the Nanup area contacted me, and they have East Frisian sheep which they use for producing milk for their cheese dairy products. Really nice sheep, but the wool is coarse, short fiber, and they're always looking for a way to monetize their wool. And that's where we came in and we bought their whole stock from them. So now I'm learning more about the industry, of course. We have farmers over east locally that are contacting us, trying to sell us their wool.
And so to make it simple, if wool is $5 a ton, I'm just making these numbers up. If wool's $5 a ton, are you paying $10 or $2 above or below what they would pay for?
We are paying above, because our whole idea is really everyone along the supply chain should win. And we are looking at working with farmers that really struggle to monetize their wool. So we want to be a company, even though we're a very small and fledgling company, we want to be a company that makes a positive impact on the wool industry.
What do you do with it? So you've now got this wool. What's the process of taking it from dirty wool that nobody wants, low quality, into something that can be turned into something new? I'm trying to get through in my head what you do with it, because you use it not just for fertilizer, but you're using it in different applications as well. You said you turn it into a liquid.
Mm. So I can't go into the process. It's a little bit of a trade secret, but essentially what we do is we unlock the value of the wool by deconstructing the wool using green chemistry approaches. And once we have a liquid product, then that essentially means that the wool is now, or the proteins that make up the wool, the keratin proteins, they are now in a state that is where they are bioavailable and biodegradable and available to be transformed into a number of various other products.
So tell me about those various other products, because obviously the fertilizer and the food industry, if there's a product that helps them to grow and develop, clearly that's a good industry. But what other industries are you looking at for? And do you change the structure to go into different industries?
That's a good question, because and we're very lucky in that we're working with wool, which is made from a protein called keratin, which is made from amino acids. So amino acids are the building blocks of life. They play a fundamental role in many things. For example, in regards to our product Verigrow, they play a fundamental role in building up the organic content of the soil. They're great for the plants and the microorganisms. So they have a very important role there to play. But amino acids as well, they are really what makes meat nutritious. For example, is the amino acids present in a commodity like meat? So what we have developed is a way to really take the wool, turn it into a liquid product, and then by doing that, we're able to extract all the goodness from the keratin and turn it into a clean powder form that could then be used as a nutritional additive, could be used as a food supplement, could be used in also the chemical pharmaceutical industry. So it opens a whole raft of possibilities there.
Okay, so let's go through the investment thesis, if you wouldn't mind. I'm getting to understand that you know, the amino acid is key. The keratin is pretty important as well. You've got this secret sauce, if you like. It's like KFC's 16 herbs and spices, all secret. I'm assuming it's patented technology, or the way you're doing it. Have you got a patent around it?
Yes, we have a patent pending for our Verigrow product. So that is, we have one granted patent in South Africa. We have a number of other patents in 9 others, to be exact, in various other industries, countries. And we are focusing on the biggest agriculture/wool producing markets here.
Who are the biggest wool producing markets? Australia?
Australia and New Zealand, and surprisingly, China is starting to top the charts. They're growing very quick. And there is others like South Africa as well, and the US, but by far it's Australia, New Zealand, and China.
Okay, so we spoke right at the beginning that you are listed on the NSX, not the ASX. You raised $750,000, close to $800,000, so not a lot. What I want to know is what the investment thesis is. So for my audience out there that are all looking at opportunities, where do you see the growth of this company? What are your numbers like at the moment? Why did you raise such a small amount, and why did you go on the NSX?
I think we are a company that really has very, very big ambitions. But at the same time, we don't want to grow too quickly. We want to grow slow. We want to set the foundations right, because they are the building blocks. If we set that right, then the growth that comes on top will be supported. That's how I like to think of it. So in terms of the amount that we raised, we didn't want to raise more than that at this point, because we don't need that kind of cash at this point. It would be unnecessary dilution for existing shareholders.
Okay.
And I like to look after my shareholders.
Good to hear. And
I want to maximize any cash coming into the company, maximize that or invest it in really value-adding value-adding activities. And as we grow and get bigger, then we can look at raising larger amounts if needed.
If needed, because you've got revenue coming in, haven't you, at the moment? How do you see those projections? Talk to us about the numbers and projections, if you can.
So we launched our product Verigrow at the farmers markets in October 2019. So that is not really a whole year there, but for FY20, we had sales of 17,000. FY21, we had 40,000, and we're 3 months short of the end of this year. And I'm very confident we're onto a very strong trajectory to exceed sales from the last financial year. I think I can see this pattern continuing for the foreseeable future. The potential on its own for the agriculture industry is huge. We currently have a negligible percentage of the market, and the uniqueness of what we do and the testimonials we've received from people who've used the product gives us the confidence that we will establish ourselves and be a player in this space in the foreseeable future.
Remy, one of the things that I'd like to find out is, how do you get the awareness, apart from talking to me on small caps? No, I'm kidding. To farmers and the like, have you spoken to government, for example, to get grants? And is there a support from the government? Because everything in Australia, it's either mined or grown, and you're doing something for the agricultural business, which sounds really good and could have applications globally. Grants out there to help you support and grow this, and how do you market it in an effective way?
So historically, we've been able and very fortunate to access the research and development grant.
Okay.
So that in terms of every dollar that we invest in research, we get 43.5 cents back in cash. And that has made a huge difference, especially in the early few years of the company, its growth. There is another kind of grant that we have accessed previously. It's called the Export Market Development Grant.
Yep, I know.
And that's another fantastic grant. So any activities that we spend money on in terms of be it intellectual property or marketing activities for overseas markets, we can also apply and claim to get some of that money back. So these grants really make a big difference. And of course, as we continue to grow, I am looking to start getting to know people in the industry, be a part of associations. For example, we've just recently joined Agribusiness Australia, and these kind of associations will provide us with a platform and also the channels to network and get to meet people in the industry and government that we could work with to make things happen.
And I guess at the end of the day as well, you're going to have you will need distribution channels going forward as you grow this. How scalable is this business at the moment, or are you still in that fledgling stage?
That's a very good question, and one that I am very pleased to answer. We currently are able to do our manufacturing capacity is close to 500,000 liters a year. I'm talking exclusively about the Verigrow product. Mm-hmm. As we speak, we actually have equipment on its way here that will allow us to increase that manufacturing capacity. The way we currently operate is we have two models for our sales. We have retail market side, if you like, where we approach or we sell directly to nurseries and hardware stores. And then we have a distribution avenue where we work with distributors in WA and over East. And we sell them larger quantities, and then they explore their avenues and networks to get these into various markets. So this is a very good model for us at the moment, as we're still a small company, but as we grow, we will obviously look at bringing some employing salespeople that can go out there and do the marketing and sales for us.
And look, we've only really touched on Verigrow, but I think Rami has said at the start of the interview that there are other areas that they can go into. We don't have enough time today, but they include, you know, the cosmetics industry, the health food industry, the material sector. So it's an application, it's a product which helps across so many different industries. And as Ramiz said earlier, it's all about the amino acids and the ability for him. And I think it's a very good green story, if you like, because you're taking something which was once waste and landfill and turning it into a product which helps improve things. So kudos to you, big tick there, but we are running out of time. I've got an investor audience out there that are always looking at opportunities. I believe being on the NSX, that's nothing against the NSX at all, but you're a new company. You've only been on the boards a month. So a little bit unknown. Tell us why you think people should be sitting up and taking notice of Veriton right now.
We thank you for the question. A nice way to wrap it. I think first and foremost, I'd say that Veriton is a very unique company. It's operating in a space that has very few competitors. We are the leaders in this space of where we want to go with upcycling waste pool. We have a huge market that we're tapping into various unrelated industries worth billions and billions of dollars. And the third reason is it's still very early days for the company. So looking at our revenue stream and sales, there is huge room to grow. And investors that will come on board now will see that growth and be a part of it as we move forward.
Now, if people want to find out more, what's the website that they can go to and have a look at this in more detail?
So to learn more about Veritin, you can go to our Veritin website, www.veritin.com.au. There is also a built-in page there for products. There is a Verigrow link, which will take you to our Verigrow page, and you can learn more about Verigrow there.
Well, very good. I had to put that in, ladies and gentlemen. I couldn't help myself. Very great. Very good. I think this is fascinating, Ramiz. Please come back and have a chat to us in a few months' time. I'd really, maybe actually at the end of the financial year, let us know some of those numbers as well. But for those of you out there that thought that wool only goes into landfill, well, clearly Dr. Boulos is changing that around and making sure that that secret sauce, and he won't tell us what it is, but he's moving it from a waste to a product which helps our agricultural industry. He's only just getting started, so check them out. As I said before, on the NSX, the NSX code is VTN. Ramiz, thank you so much for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thank you very much, Kerry. That was awesome.